When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
You're now locked into The Zone with Diamonds and Roses podcast, bringing you one step closer to Pacific Northwest and Southwest Canada baseball news, stories, and history. Proudly fueled by Baseballism, they're America's brand, and Devo Bat Company, professional wood grain bats for the love of the game. And now your hosts, Ben and Travis.
Welcome, everybody, to season 6 of the Diamonds and Roses podcast. This episode is no different than any other, and it's going to be amazing. And why I say amazing, we have our friends from the north. We're not talking Victoria, BC. We're talking even further north. We're talking in the snowy mountains of Alaska, more specifically Fairbanks, Alaska. And you may have guessed it already by hearing Fairbanks, but none other than the Alaska Gold Panthers. This has been on my bucket list of teams to have a conversation with, teams to go see and be there in person. And there's one other factor that we'll talk about later in this episode. But I want to get to the general manager of the Alaska Gold Panthers, John Lorkey. John, thanks for joining me today.
Happy to be here, Ben. You bet. Thanks for asking me.
So, John, you work for a historical summer collegiate baseball team. I mean, from what I've read about them, the teams didn't really start till I think 1960, but the thought process was there in like 1959, from what I read, by a man by the name of H.A. Boucher, who was the lieutenant governor of Alaska and former mayor of Fairbanks, but he is originally from the East Coast in New Hampshire. So, a long storied history here for the Panthers. So what can you tell me about the early years of the inception of what you can recall?
Well, I wasn't around at that point. I got here about 20 years later, 1980, with a different team called, as you might wonder if this is real, but it was called the North Pole Knicks when the Alaska League added another team that year. But the history, yeah, is something else. You know, it was the first team in Alaska, and they had to find teams to play. So they played a lot out of the state, and they would bring teams in, primarily the West Coast, because you know there's so many good teams on the West Coast. So they developed some pretty quick ties with Arizona, USC, Arizona State, Cal State Fullerton, teams like that, Santa Clara. And Red was quite, from what I learned, was quite a showman. He was quite a promoter. I don't know how much of a baseball manager or strategist he was, but he was the guy that was doing it. And shortly thereafter, the Gold Panthers look at other teams around the state to start. But you're right. That's when it all started. 1960 up here, we were called the Pan Alaska or something like that. I don't think Gold Panthers kicked in for another 3 or 4 years after that.
Yeah, the what I read was the Pan-Alaska Gold Panners was the original name. And then I think if my history tells me right by my research, it was in 1963 that they officially changed the name to Alaska Gold Panners. So at least that's what my initial research tells me. But you never know. I mean, it
Oh,
could
sounds
be
like you've
wrong.
done your homework.
So help me, correct me if I'm wrong, but it's Groton. Is it Groton Park, Memorial Park? Is that how you pronounce it correctly?
Groudon.
Groudon. So you play at Groudon
Groudon Memorial
Memorial Park.
Park.
Is that where the
Well,
Panthers have
the
always
whole thing
played?
is the park. And our area of it is called Ground Memorial Field. No, I think there was a couple years, 2 or 3 years before that, where there was a different park that we played it. But you're starting to date me pretty good here now, because I've really been. I mean, I got up here in 80. I just jumped in because I've been involved in a couple other organizations up here. As I mentioned, the Knicks from 80 to 87. I was actually down in Kenai. I worked for a Ford dealership here for 35 years, and he purchased a dealership down there. And so I went down to Kenai, and they approached me and said, "Hey, you got too much baseball in you, Lorky. You got to be on our board." So I was actually the president of the Peninsula Oilers for 99, 2000, 2001. So took over the presidency of the Gold Panthers in 2016. And I've been on the board since 05, but not that involved at that point, just housing players and that. So 2016 is really when I took over and been president, and now I'm just the general manager. I don't say just the general manager.
Yeah,
Yeah, I'm
it's
just
not
sitting
just the
around
gentleman.
doing nothing.
So the Panthers itself, okay, so they have some really good deep history, and I think you talked about those roots. But what I read is there's been over 200 players, roughly, from the Panthers that have made the major leagues. And I'll list I'll try to shorten the list of players, but the most notably ish, and I say ish because there are several really good ones that people will know by name. We got Barry Bonds in 1983. You have Tom Seaver from 64 to 65. Dave Winfield, Mr. Alaska himself, from 1971 to 72. Portland, Oregon area resident Harold Reynolds played there. Brett Boone, Bob Boone, Bill Spaceman Lee, the current manager of the Guardians, Terry Francona, and Jason Giambi, just to name a few. I mean, it's a pretty
Yeah.
good list, honestly. Like, that's a good list.
Pretty
Like,
strong
what is
list.
it?
Yeah.
Like, what? How does what does that do for you? For you, from a selling point to these student athletes, just to be able to name those names. I mean, that's a huge list.
It is a huge list. It's very impressive. And there's so many others, like I think you mentioned, seven or eight. But yeah, I mean, it's really nuts. And there's about a half dozen in the big leagues that have come through here now. It's a summer college league. So there's yeah, the history is off the charts. I did a little research because I've seen some fluctuating numbers on just exactly how many that is. Because that number you mentioned, which is exactly now that I've determined 201, is that doesn't include so many that have gone into the front offices. Or a minor league director or somebody like that. So yeah, it's a whole lot. It's a whole
It,
lot of guys and just quality players, right?
yeah. So I want to take a step back because I usually, I'm so excited about talking about the Panthers and want to get into that. But I really want to talk about you, John. Like, so where are you originally from?
I'm originally from California. I go back. It's a lot of it starts with my father, who people that are older like me know of. My dad was before I was born playing in the Polo Grounds in New York. Broke in with the Giants in '47 and played, through the actually was on the Bobby Thompson home run team, the famous 51. Miracle at Coogan's Bluff team. And then in 52 was went to the Phillies for a year. But and then my brother, older brother, 7 years older than me, was a very good player at Santa Clara, where I went to school. He was drafted in the third round in 71, or as the 70, let me think, 51st pick by the Red Sox. So, but he didn't make it to the big leagues. So you can imagine that growing up, I might have an interest in baseball. and I wasn't very good. So I got involved in an administrative way and heard, heard that the baseball coach at Santa Clara was coming to Alaska for the summer in 1980. And I had graduated and said, well, let me help you out up there. Let me take me with you. Let me, you know, do staff and press releases or radio or broadcast, whatever. And the Panthers had such a role in starting that other team, the Knicks. So I found myself in Alaska. They asked me as the summer wore on to be the general manager. And because the Panthers had all the framework, they had the personnel, they had all that. And this was just a new team that was starting, but had a blast doing that. So that's what introduced me to the Ford dealer up here. So I spent a lot of time there. And back in end of 15, the beginning of 16, I kind of, you know, I turned 60 and the team was, you know, looking for a little bit of some new leadership. There's, you know, some people that had done it for a long time or, you know, quite frankly, maybe a little burnout. And they asked me to be the president. And shortly thereafter, I was, you know, within 30 days or so, they asked me to be the general manager too. So,
nice.
So that's, yeah, that's what I do. I do it full time now. I did it for, you know, a couple, almost 2 years and still was at the dealership, but that was became impossible to a certain point. So,
yeah,
but now I do it full time, loving it and having a ball.
So back to your dad, is your dad named Jack by chance?
Yeah. There's quite a story about my father. Yeah. Lucky Lorkey. And yeah,
I was looking him up.
Crazy.
Yeah. I'm looking him up.
It's really nuts. Yeah. It's really nuts. He graduates in, graduates in 42 and then he's a short minor league career. And next thing you know, he's in Europe, you know, landing at, you know, Omaha Beach and battle in Normandy and, Battle of the Bulge briefly under Patton and coming home halfway across the country. Someone with higher rank than him as the plane refuels in the Wichita area says, hey, Lorky, you take the next flight. I'm on this one. I outrank you. And so my dad stayed behind and the plane ended up crashing with no survivors. And then, you know, in 46, he's playing class B ball in, for the Spokane Indians. And the rumors are that he's being moved up, but it's not official yet. He hasn't got the word. So he heads out on a road trip with the team to Seattle to play the Rainiers. And about halfway across, a cop catches up to him and at the diner where the team was eating and says, Lorky, you're being recalled. You're moving up. You're heading all the way to AAA San Diego in the Pacific Coast League. So my dad, I think in 1946, right, hitchhikes back to Spokane. And the team continues on the road trip toward Spokane or towards Seattle and goes over a cliff. And nine guys passed away, both his roommates. So it's at that point that my dad got the nickname Lucky Lorky, which he never liked. Kind of fitting, I guess you could say. So yeah, yes. It's quite a crazy story.
Yeah, I'm looking, you know, with Spokane, you know, he, in 1946, looking at some stats here, you know, four home runs, played in 57 games, and then got moved up to the PCL with San Diego. Yeah, you know, 106 hits there, you know, 19 doubles.
Yeah, in 47, he had a really good year. That was a year the Giants broke the most home runs by a team record by the Yankees. I think it was 221. My dad hit the one that broke it. So
yeah,
I'm an old fanfare about that. But
says he's 112 games with the Giants that year. 11 home runs, 79 hits, 12 doubles, 4 triples, 35 RBIs. He puts together a pretty good little year that year.
He had a pretty good year, but shortly after that, Mel Ott was replaced by Leo DeRocher. And they added Alvin Dark and Eddie Stanky to their team. So that kind of pushed my dad out in the infield. So he didn't get a lot of playing time after. he didn't get his rookie year, 47, when he did so well, was his best. So, but that's, yeah, you know, but he was there.
Yeah. So.
So you think, what, yeah.
That's
How's
great.
That for it? How's that for a growing up, you know?
Yeah. I mean, that, you know, there were so many individuals who served and they, you know, came back and, you know, played ball. You know, it's just, I think as somebody who served myself, it's like, I think the camaraderie, you know, that they gained while serving and then that camaraderie while playing, you know, baseball.
Oh, yeah.
Feels like it fits within itself. But, like, what was that like for you, like, as a child and growing up? And, you know, did that make you want to play baseball yourself, and what level of impact that it had?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, because you're seeing it a lot. I mean, when I come around, my dad's all done playing. I'm born in 57, just about when he's done, so with his minor league career. So to me, it's, you know, his experience as a baseball player is just, you know, seeing the thing come in the mail, you know, a baseball card. Hey, Mr. Larkey, would you mind signing this? I remember you playing in this. And then it'd be in a, you know, a stamped envelope, and my dad would graciously, you know, sign it and send it back. And, you know, a couple times a year we'd go to Candlestick Park because it was in the, you know, the Sacramento areas of my grade school days. And, you know, I'm fortunate, you know, I'm in the clubhouse with my brother, and my dad saying hello to some of his old friends, you know, like Willie Mays and Wes Westrum, you know, you know, things like that. So it was pretty cool. You know, he became a security officer working at, you know, the Livermore Lab and Aerojet in Sacramento and Lockheed in Sunnyvale. So, but yeah, I mean, from time to time, surely he'd you know, we'd see him talking with somebody, or he'd go to an old timers game. So, but no, there surely wasn't any arm twisting to get me to to want to like baseball. It was a love immediately.
Yeah, and how did you play yourself as a?
Yeah, but yeah, oh yeah, oh sure, I did it all. Yeah, I did a little league in high school and tried out for college, and but you know, but I wasn't to that level. My brother was very good. My brother was, you know, and when Santa Clara was second or third in the country, my brother's a three hitter, and you know, I mean, he was really good, and third round with the Red Sox, like I said, so he would have been in that same group that had Fred Lynn and Jim Rice and stuff, but. He never got past Double A, but yeah, it's a baseball loving family, no doubt about it.
What is it about baseball for you that draws you to the game and makes you want to come back year and year after year?
I'm just a purist. I mean, I just love the game. I'm a very unemotional observer. I'm very much into, and I talk to coaches about it quite a bit. You know, none of this is criticism. I just love the game. I like talking about, especially the strategy of the game. I'm upset that the DH is completely throughout the game now, because that takes away a lot of that strategy with a pitching change. You only have to worry about whether the guy coming in is better than the guy on the mound. You don't have to think, you know, does my pitcher hit second next inning? Should I hit for him? Should I make two switches? I mean, that's all gone. I miss that. But just I think it's a terrific game. I do like some of the rule changes because I think speeding it up is a pretty good thing for most fans. I mean, they're trying to bring a lot of fans into it, but I think it's one of those games that you know, the speed is going to help a few fans, but most people either enjoy baseball or they don't. You know, it doesn't move fast enough for a lot of people. But that, you know, until you understand what's going on before the pitch is thrown, with some of the, you know, where the catcher's setting up, how big a lead the guy has, why the center fielder's moved over this way. I mean, it's just, you know, there's so much to it. So, but no, I just love it. I mean, I love all sports, but just, yeah, you know, especially baseball.
Do you think Major League Baseball could take away something from summer collegiate baseball itself, like teams like the Panthers or others, for kind of things that they're doing with their crowds? Because, like, I mean, yeah, Alaska probably, you know, when I was there, You had your fans there, and they came either because they were dedicated or they just like the product that was on the field. And it's something about those, what you do to draw those people there and have them continuously come day after day. So do you think that there's something that because of Major League Baseball having issues in areas like Oakland, maybe Tampa, other places where there's not as big of crowds, there's something that baseball could learn from summer collegiate teams?
Yeah, it's interesting that because especially as Tampa, that's kind of a head scratcher. You know, is it all about the type of stadium that they have, you know, that they play in because they've had such success? Or is it the fact that they don't think, you know, they have a history of trading away guys who have this amazing, you know, future, who have had a couple good years at the trade deadline to get some minor league players that come up and that, you know, they've been terrific at it. You know, Oakland's just another story. You know, we know from a player standpoint, it's not a great, you know, place to play as far as the stadium itself and the locker rooms and all that kind of stuff. But, you know, I've been to the Oakland Coliseum many times. It's a great place to watch a game. So, but I don't know. Like I said, I like the time. I like the clock, pitch clock. I don't know why you have to make the bases bigger. I don't get that one. Because what you've done to increase the running game by not allowing a pitcher to throw over more than twice is, I mean, that's kind of weird. But they want to get more stealing into the base. I think you'll see guys change their approach to the plate now, because some guys, you know, you don't have two guys that can play more than two guys on one side of the infield. So that one, we'll see how that plays out. I don't know how that's going to be, but I like the pitch count or the pitch clock rather. You know, and the infielders situation. I think those are the big ones.
Okay, well, back to the Panthers real quick. But before we do that, there's a couple questions that I generally like to ask people
Sure.
who come on the podcast to kind of change it up a little bit. So first
Uh-oh.
question is what's your favorite baseball movie and why?
Probably Field of Dreams. I just thought it was really well done. I liked especially the James Earl Jones character in it, when you get back to, you know, that speech he makes. You know, it's just a really good movie. I mean, Kevin Costner's made a few of them now, but that one's probably good. I like Bull Durham a lot too. That's probably a close second. Both again, Kevin Costner, but it's really good. I mean, you've got some ones that are very funny. Bull Durham's got some really funny moments in it. But you know, it's not, you know, Major League is hilarious too. I mean, yeah, because I go way back. I mean, I remember how many times Bob Uecker used to appear on The Tonight Show and telling all his jokes to Carson. I mean, it was just, you know, he's so funny, you know, just hilarious. So, yeah, but that'd be Field of Dreams would be my favorite.
Okay.
The Natural. And The Natural is awesome.
All right. Who's your favorite superhero?
Well, I guess baseball, I'm not much of a superhero. I'm not much of a Marvel guy. My kids try to get me to be interested in the movies, and I don't watch enough of it to follow it, because, you know, they'll tell me all about it. Willie Mays is definitely my best favorite, most favorite player.
Okay.
I just thought he was just And so much of what I've read and learned over the years is how much he really controlled things, even from center field in the 60s with the Giants, just, you know, calling pitches and moving people around. I mean, he was beyond just a great player. He was really running the show to a large degree.
Okay, so if I pick up your phone and I'm looking at the music, what's the most listened to
Looking at the
music on
what?
your
I'm
phone?
sorry, I didn't hear you.
I'm looking at the music on your phone and I'm looking at what you listen to most frequently. What is it that you're listening to most frequently for music?
I listened to a wide variety. I was very much a, you know, a California singer-songwriter kind of kid, you know, growing up. A lot of stuff like James Taylor and Paul Simon and Dan Fogelberg and the Eagles and things like that. But, you know, I go back and listen to a lot of the, you know, stuff that I didn't listen to a lot then that I know is so good, you know, like The Who and, you know, Led Zeppelin and that. But I like country too. I like country, love Brad Paisley. So there's a lot of great artists out there. I love a lot of music.
All right, last fun question, and then we'll get back to the real stuff. It
The This count.
yeah, this counts. Okay. If you could have one actor play you in a movie, who would it be?
Oh wow. Wow, I would have known. I mean, there's so many good ones. There's so many good ones. That's a tough one. Maybe because I've mentioned his name a few times, he immediately comes to mind, but Kevin Costner would be a good one. I really loved Moneyball. I thought Brad Pitt did a terrific job in that. There was a couple cameos of some guys who had been through our organization, Mike Gillespie, who used to be a Hall of Fame coach at USC, and at Cal State Irvine was up here and coached for the Knicks back in the middle '80s. So, but yeah, those would probably be two guys. Not as good a looking as them, but that'd be pretty cool.
You know who I think, and I just kind of it reminded me of it, and I was trying to think of the guy, and I had to look at it up. But if you ever see the movie Sideways, it's about the wine adventure for the bachelor party. These two guys like going through California. Well, anyways, there's a gentleman by Paul Giamatti, who also
Oh,
was in like Saving Private Ryan and some other ones. He looks.
he's yeah, I really like Paul Giamatti.
He could be you. You look a little like him, and I think he could play
Yeah,
you in
he
a
was.
movie.
Yeah, maybe I should have put a hat on to disguise some of the losing hairline. But
No. That's
I loved him in playing John Adams. I thought that HBO series with him playing John Adams was tremendous. Yeah.
yeah. I think he could be your double. So we'll say that.
I'll take that as a compliment.
It is a good
He's a
comedy.
good
That guy's
actor.
he is a good actor. That's why I was
He's a
like,
great
man, the guy,
actor, yeah.
he's hilarious too, and he's really good serious. So I really think overall he's just an amazing actor. So anyways, let's get back to the Panthers. I appreciate you playing along with me a little bit with that, with
No
those
problem.
fun
No
questions.
problem. No, it's all good.
I like to change it up a little bit because I like to, this whole podcast isn't about just like, hey, let's dig in more about, let's figure out this, let's do that about the specific thing, but it's about more about you also as an individual and then getting to know you more as a person. And that's what I try
I
to do with
appreciate
my
that.
guests, get to know them a little bit more. But we all know, like I always talk about summer collegiate wooden bat leagues because obviously as my people that listen to this, they know that summer collegiate is vastly different than college baseball because you're changing from aluminum to wood bats. You're on the road, you're playing games day after day, and then you have travel. This particular situation that you're in is more of like a barnstorming situation because it's just like not necessarily affiliated with any league, but you're doing a lot of traveling. And I gotta ask, like, how is that just from a couple standpoints? One, what's the effect on the team? What's the effect on the management? But how is it scheduled? I mean, some got to be a little bit of a nightmare sometimes on scheduling.
Yeah, we do. We've played an independent schedule since 16. Much of that is our choice. Some of it is mandated to us because we're not members of the Alaska League. And that's a discussion that seems to be getting better. The league finally appointed a commissioner, which I think is a huge step to really look at things in a way that I don't think has been done in the past, which is for the benefit of the league instead of just individual teams wanting to, take care of their own little needs. So we'll see where that goes. So because of that, because of our lack of games around the state, we play a very expensive schedule that really forces us to get out of the state halfway through the summer. So to get road games, because I don't think it's a very attractive schedule for players. And even for the benefit of summer families that need a little break from time to time with this, kid that's in their house. So we play about, 5.5 to 6 weeks at home and play a couple weeks on the road. We're actually going to be down at Medford, at the end of this year to finish our schedule there. And then we'll see if there's August postseason after that. But yeah, I mean, I've got to get on the horn and find six, seven teams or so that want to come to Alaska for the summer. And we help them out. You know, we'll put them up and we give them a per game fee to help go against the airfare. But it's a really fun schedule. We play a little over 30 games at home. Typically, we'll be in about the 45 game area when we get done. And sometimes we have in the past we have done a little barnstorming, and but we think it's a great experience for a kid, because if you're going to get into, you know, a profession as a baseball player, your opportunities to come to Alaska have to be as an amateur. So you're not going to be able to do it as a professional. So mm-hmm. to get a chance to spend one of your summers in Alaska playing, you know, in our town, I think it's the perfect size. We get good crowds. They keep getting better and better. We've got the Midnight Sun game. Obviously, that's a huge draw every year. But we've got the July 7th this year, we've got the Philly Fanatic who's going to come up here. I just kind of had an idea this winter, and I called the Phillies, and he's going to be here. The All-Star game's in Seattle just a couple days after he's here. And so that'll be a really fun night, because we had a history of bringing up the San Diego Chicken, but he hasn't been here since 09. So it's been a long time since we've had that kind of event. Mm-hmm. So not at the, you know, Savannah Bananas level, but I think it's should be a fun evening.
Yeah. Let's talk about the Midnight Sun game. It was voted by Baseball America as one of the 10 must see baseball events that anybody should go see. ESPN's like, this is like number 8. You need to go do this. Various other columnists have said this is a must see. Bill Spaceman Lee, former Panner himself, you know, said this is epic. But it was first held in 1906. It doesn't begin at midnight, but it begins at, I think, 10:30 p.m. local time in Fairbanks. And, you know, goes to about that midnight, maybe beyond hour. But having been there, I mean, 1 o'clock, 12, 1 o'clock in the morning, I mean, the sun's still up. I mean, it doesn't set in Fairbanks, like, too much at that time. Explain what goes into that event and the planning, but then what it feels like to be at that event.
It's all above. I mean, it's just a lot of fun. It's a lot of work for our organization to be ready to accommodate, you know, 3,000 fans. We get help from the local military, because we typically don't need a stadium that large throughout the season. So we bring in additional seating from the Army base to help us out for that game. But it's quite an event. There's really no way to describe it unless you've been here. You know, I've had coaches tell me after the game, that's the best baseball experience, you know, I've ever had. We had play ball, Major League Baseball play ball was here. I think it was in 2018. Mm-hmm. I was getting goosebumps. I just got a call one day out of the blue from a guy that worked in the commissioner's office, Bennett Shields. And he said, you know, I just got off a flight from Philadelphia, and I was reading in the airline magazine about that Midnight Sun game up there. And I can't believe I didn't know about that game, because Harold Reynolds, you know, Baseball Tonight, and Dan Plesac too. Dan Plesac, they was here in 81. Harold Reynolds was here in 1980, which is my first summer here. So he and Alvin Davis were two of the first guys I met, you know. So, and we want to bring our play ball event to Alaska. So, and it was, you know, just a lot of fun thing, but it touches a lot of people. It's really cool. And we get a lot of support from the community. We've already just about sold out the reserve seating for that game, which is, you know, the grandstand under the press box. You were here last summer. You have a little bit of feel for the stadium. But,
yep.
I mean, you couldn't find an empty little pocket to put a fan into last year. There was people everywhere, and they just had a ball.
Yeah, and it's again, it's a tradition that's been going on since, like, 1906. I gotta imagine, you know, the fans must be going wild during this game. I mean, even though it's like later at night, I mean, still that energy. And how far, let me ask this question. What's the furthest away that you can recall somebody coming to watch that game from?
Oh, we get people from all over the world that come to it. We've had Australia here, we've had Japan here, we've had people from the, Russia were here 3 years ago doing a film documentary during the game. Yeah, all over the place from Europe. It touches a lot of people because people do, people that enjoy traveling and love baseball, they're gonna know about this game. They're gonna want to be here. And there's just, like I said, there's just no way to describe it. It's just small town stuff, and the park is old, but we've done a lot to clean it up and, make it look better. And with various things that we're doing after this season, we'll be getting new turf. So there's a lot of stuff we do, and a new scoreboard is going in this year. So there's things that we're doing with the help of the community and the borough and, our fan base to help us do these kind of things. But just keeps getting better and better, and we got a lot of help from the community, a lot of help from the business community and the fans that come out and support us. So
Yeah.
it makes it all worthwhile.
Okay, you're speaking of the turf. So Boise State has the green turf. Eastern Washington University has the red turf, but the Gold Panthers have gold turf. So I'm hoping that you're not going to do away with the gold turf, right?
No, we are. We're gonna go to a pretty traditional look. We're gonna go to a pretty traditional look. Instead of doing the gold on the field, it's gonna be the typical. I mean, we've got the green, but where the brown dirt would type be, that's yellow or gold now. Yeah. So now we're gonna get a little bit more traditional.
Oh man, I mean, I always thought that it was great to have that because it was like, okay, they're celebrating gold by having the where the dirt would normally be gold. I was like, that is very unique, and it reminds me of these other schools that have their uniqueness to it. You said new
It's
turf. I'm like,
extremely unique, yeah.
please tell me they're keeping the gold turf. I'm gonna have to get
No.
a. I'm gonna have to have you send me a piece of that turf because
We are
that
gonna
stuff's
hang on to as
famous.
much of it as we can and like put it in our bullpen or do something like that with it, but we're not just gonna say goodbye to it. Yeah.
All right. Well, I'm gonna have to talk to you after this because I might ask to see if I can have a piece of that to put it up on my wall of fame to have that
All
later
right.
on. So on your website, one of the things that you talk about, because again, I want to go back to challenges like from collegiate to summer league, and I mentioned a couple, but your website mentions that there's many off-field challenges that require mental discipline in order to play at that high level. Can you explain a little bit about what it's kind of like talking about there?
I think it's just a talk. It's on our website under like personnel, players, and that.
Well, it's under the About Us history kind of portion of the website.
I think it's just everything that goes into it. There's a lot. You can have a small town feel and stuff, but you're not dealing with small town. You get into these players. They're competitive. They have aspirations to be a professional player. And the competition with the teams that we bring up, and baseball is a game. I think hitting a baseball is one of the hardest things to do in sports, if not the hardest. And with guys throwing harder and harder nowadays, it takes a mental toughness. I mean, it's a game. You don't get a hit 3 days in a row. It wears on you. And a lot of these guys are as they go up and up in their experiences in baseball, the competition gets harder. So it's a big test. It's a test for them to see if they can continue to play at a high level as they go higher. And you've got a guy on the mound, and that battle that goes on between the catcher or the pitcher and the hitter is, it's huge. It's huge. So yeah, it's a game that it doesn't have a it's a different kind of game. It's not as I would say it's not as physical as you know, as base as basketball and football, it's more of a concentration type game. It's different that way. You can't play this game amped up. You have to play it very concentrated, but very relaxed. The harder you try to grip a baseball, it's not going to go any faster. It's going to be worse. And the harder you grip a bat, it's going to be worse. So it doesn't allow for those kind of things. It's a relaxed intensity that's kind of an odd combination of words, but that's really what the game's about. I think that's what we were referring to.
Yeah. Now, as far as, you know, not a lot of people would think and put Alaska and baseball sort of together.
Right.
How would you describe the community of baseball in Alaska, more specifically within the Fairbanks area?
They just love the team. They just love the team. They love that there's 30 plus days in the summer where they can come on out, and, you know, they especially love our beer garden, and they love everything. But, you know, we put in new seating, and, you know, the concession stand is really good. And it's, you know, close enough setting where, you know, you're right on top of things. You're not removed mm-hmm. from the players at all. So,
yeah.
So it's really great that way. And we get to know these guys really well. They're around town, and you're going to see them out and about, you know, when they're grabbing something to eat or at the store. So just a lot of help. And, you know, like, we'll have 31 home dates, and 27 of them will be promotion days and doing different things. And like I said, so many of the businesses want to be a part of it. So we'll do a lot of fun things, do some giveaways, and, you know, just trying to make each night, you know, real fun at the park.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's sitting out in the sunshine, and it's 76 degrees, and, you know, it's beautiful. I mean, it's a pretty relaxing 2.5 to 3 hours. A lot of fun.
Yeah. I'm going to pause this real quick. And so people can hear this, but I'll pause for a second. And I'm going to play this particular song. Because it's something that plays when your mascot goes around, or I think it's in the seventh inning or after a win.
I was walking down the street on a sunny day. Hubba, 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 hubba. A feeling in my bones says I have my way. Hubba, 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 hubba. Oh, I'm a happy boy.
Happy boy.
Oh, I'm a happy boy.
Happy boy.
Oh, ain't it good when things are going your way? Hey, hey. My little dog Spot got hit by a car. Hubba, 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 hubba. Put his guts in a box and put him in a drawer. Hubba, 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 hubba. Oh, I'm a happy boy.
Happy boy.
I'm a happy boy.
Happy boy.
Oh, ain't it good when things are going your way? Hey, hey. Forgot all about it for a month and a half. Hubba, 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 hubba. I looked in the drawer and started to laugh. Hubba, 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 hubba. Cause I'm a happy boy.
Happy boy.
I'm a happy boy.
Happy boy.
Oh, ain't it good when things are going your way? Hey, hey.
Okay, so this song, Happy Boy by the Beak Farmers, is played. And I heard this for the first time. And it's the hubba, 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 hubba. And it's like talking about happy boy. And then if you get to listen to the lyrics, you know, it's kind of funny. And it creates a uniqueness for this particular team. When did this song like become part of the team? And talk to me a little bit about it.
I honestly, I'd have to go back and do the same research as you. I think it goes back to about 19, middle 90s or something, early 90s. It was actually when I was sort of between teams, and I was, you know, busy, you know, trying to sell trucks at the Ford dealership and that. But yeah, I mean, when most everyone else is paying, you know, take me out to the ball game, we're playing this goofball song that's been around now for, you know, 30 years. And it's odd, you know. You don't want to listen to the words to it because they're kind of creepy. And people, most of the people that are thinking, not even aware of that, but they get their kazoo out, and I typically don't tell players about this. So the first time that they see it in the seventh inning, they come walking out of the dugout and look up in the stands, and you see all these kazoos being played and this weird song that's going on. And our mascot, which we started about 4 years ago, it's just something different, you know, and it's something different. And, you know, I'll have a new coach and he'll come to me after the first game and he'll say, "What the heck was that?" Like, I don't know. It's a tradition. It's as much of a tradition now as not turning on the lights, which we couldn't turn on anyway because they don't work. So the only game where we would need the lights because of how far north we are and not needing them is during the Midnight Sun game, and I'd get shot if I tried to turn the lights on for that game. So it's just one of those crazy things.
It was, I have to say, so I'm there.
Had you heard about it before you got here?
No, I hadn't heard about it. I got there. I'm sitting there, and it was like, oh, well, we couldn't play this last night's game, but we want to play it now. And it was like, because the game got called a little, because run rule, and it was mercy. So they had it. And then all the players are out there dancing, and everybody like in the crowds got their little kazoos. I'm like, what on earth is this? It's like, and then it's like, I never heard of it before. But what got me and why I love it is that the crowd is into it. The players were into it. It was like, it's a tradition there. And I'm like, man, this thing is rooted in this team. Yeah. And I just loved it. I mean, if you get to Alaska, you go to Fairbanks, you get to a game, you're going to love this. Bring a kazoo because you'll want to play along.
Sell them there too. But, it's a cool event. I won't ever change that one.
Please do not. Please do not. No. Last thing I have for you, and before we end it with that, like, I just want to say it's been great having you on. I'm really enjoying this, having a lot of fun, and I just want to say I really, really appreciate your time given to me today.
Oh, thanks for reaching out, Ben. I appreciate it.
And this is not the end of our conversations. We will continue on. We'll follow up throughout the season. Because I'm kind of vested in the Panthers now. I really like it. And last year, leading into my last question here, is like I got to watch on YouTube the games. And while I was there, in Alaska, fighting fires, I was kind of watching some of the games when I could. And then after I left, came back home, started following you on YouTube. I feel it's like the Real Gold Panthers. Is where you can find you. And then, that's on Twitter, but then it'll give the links to the games. But it's like, start watching the games, and I just really, really enjoyed it. Will the team be broadcasting again this year on YouTube for your games?
Yeah, we'll be doing that. And we just keep trying to do a little bit more each year. We even had a couple different cameras going last year. And we enjoy doing that. And we keep getting more and more listeners. We're also going to do some local radio here in the town this year too. So not every game, but probably a dozen or so games. I get the interest even more around the town, people that aren't aware, because it's a very, very transient population. You probably have, third of the people swap out every year just because of the military. You know, you have a pretty good Army and Air Force presence here in the town. So we like to do that and just, let people know what we're doing, where we are, and when they can catch the game.
Okay. So last question. I'm wearing, like, you can't see it, but you can find this on their website. Okay. I'm wearing what I think is the best hat that you guys have. Because again, if you haven't seen my Twitter, you haven't seen my Instagram, you will know that Benny is a hat person. I love hats, and I try to get them wherever I go. But your normal colors are red and blue. Those are your two like main ones. But now you have the
little gold in there too.
Gold in there. But you came out with this one. You said a couple years ago that's all black, and it's got a silver star with 49, and then it's got an Alaska, black Alaska flag with the stars on the right hand side. Really, really nice hat, by the way. I just want to say that, and it's one that has gained some fandom through my site, and I know people liked it. But what about the different color scheme? Why the change? But good change.
There's been a long history, a lot of wearing different hats, but obviously, you know, being loyal to that Star 49, which I think is such a unique logo. You know, it's the 49th state. And we were the first team in Alaska to start a semi-pro team. So we refer to us a lot of times as the Alaska Gold Panners. A lot of people like to call us the Fairbanks Gold Panners, and that's fine too. It's not anything that really has bothered us or anything. But we've wore blue, and then last year, first time in a little while, we wore red for our hats. We haven't worn the black and silver as a team hat yet, but even going back a ways, I think there was even a couple of years where they may have even combined the blue and the red together. But we keep that Star 49 right there, and oftentimes we'll have a flag on it as well. And we're going to go with red again this year, make it the second year in a row. But I can easily see us going back to the navy blue too. I kind of like to keep it. You see a lot of different organizations have a variety of hats. Different things you'll see, you know, something around, you know, St. Patrick's, they'll do green and, yep. you know, so, but no, we try to come out with something fun once in a while. And that one sure was a hit. The one, the black and silver. Yeah. That went over really well.
Yeah. I love this hat. It's just, like you said, the star with the 49 makes it unique. But I love the added Alaska flag on the side. I think that gives it a really nice touch. And I think that's what, for me, that's what that little added piece just makes it pop.
Yeah, I agree.
But, you know, hey, if you ever need somebody to, like, really push your hats, just let me know. Because I'd be game to, you know, throw money your way and be like, send it to Benny. I will wear it. And we'll get it going on. So, but I really do hope that I can make it to Medford for that game here when you come to Oregon. When is that game?
I think 27, 28, 29, 30.
Well, when do you kick the season? When do you kick the season off this year?
Our home opener is June 8th against the San Diego Waves, and then we'll play through the 24th. Of June, then we'll head out to British Columbia for a tournament there in Grand Forks, and then we'll come back home and finish our home schedule again on July 24th, and then we'll be out at Medford. I believe it's 27, 28, 29, 30.
Yeah, that's what it looks like, 27th, 28th, 29th, and 30th of July. So if you are in Oregon, you're in the Pacific Northwest, California, go and see them. I'm gonna save those days because I want to try to make it down to Medford to see you guys.
Oh, that'd be great. It'd be great to meet you.
Yeah, so that'll be great. And then I think I'll try on my end to work with some of my West Coast League contacts to get you to play some of the West Coast League teams, and that way, you know, I can come see them too. So, but John, hey. It's been great. Thank you so much. Where can my fans find you?
Just goldpanners.com. It's a Point Streak site, which oversees a lot of different teams because of their ability to, you know, keep the staff online and that. So, but goldpanners.com, my phone number's there. And just be great. Visit our website. There's a lot there. And look forward to chatting with you again, Ben, and appreciate the support, reaching out to me about this podcast. So I really appreciate it. Love being on it.
All right. Well, we'll have you on again this year, either sometime during the season or after the season, just to kind of follow up, see how it went. But John Lorge, thank you for coming. Alaska Gold Panthers, you can find them online. Have a great season to the Panthers. Wish you nothing but luck, healthiness, prosperity, and just – winning again. So go Panthers. So that'll do it for this episode of the Diamonds and Roses podcast. I appreciate you, appreciate everything that you do for this baseball community, because it is a family. So take care, have a great day wherever you are at, and peace out.